From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. With just two game weeks remaining, could there be a silver lining for Manchester City? Jesus, to answer our prayers, and who are you backing in the race to beat the drop? Hello and welcome along to the latest Fantasy Premier League pod. Congratulations. If you are listening, you have, like me, Kelly Summers, almost survived the stress of another FPL season. Now, there may still be one match remaining of game week 36 plus at the time we are recording. But after that, there are just two more game weeks. The final stretch is in sight, guys. Do not worry. So to help you go into those full of gusto, I've got three fountains of FPL knowledge joining me this week. JJ Bull. JJ, I hope you've got your stats and your spreadsheets ready for us.
Yes, I do have my miraculous spreadsheet, which has helped me to finish mid-table in all of my tables.
There is still time. There is still time. Big two game weeks ahead for you, I'm sure. Lee Bonfield of FPL Family. Welcome along, Lee.
Hey, Kelly.
Good to speak to you once again. I'm sure still basking in Liverpool's glory, or maybe not after this week. And Tom Williams, who told us last week he was going to save his chips for the last 2 weeks. Well, I think we're going to have to out you as a bit of a, I don't want to say liar, it feels a bit harsh, but you free hit, Tom, in game week 36 plus.
Yeah, I did. And it's just, this completely reveals what a charlatan I am when it comes to FPL advice.
How did it go for you? Because I'm saying that and breathing in deeply because I get the feeling, like a lot of us with this game week, you felt it was going to go a little bit better than it did.
Yeah, mixed feelings, I have to say. I'm currently on 48 points with Mikel Antonio at home to Watford still to come. So if he could score another four goals, that would really help me out. I played my free hit, so things could have been worse. But then I captained Raheem Sterling, so things could have been a lot better. So yeah, not feeling great about the way that particular piece of strategy panned out.
I feel a lot of us felt that having the likes of Sterling, we talked about it on the podcast last week, was worth the risk. It's that whole risk versus reward thing that we talk about so much with Manchester City. But he was one of a number of players benched. A few people I've heard call this game week Benchmageddon and various awful puns like that, which I have completely stolen off someone else. So don't credit me with that terrible pun. The bench: Kevin De Bruyne, Sterling, Mahrez, Aubameyang, Doherty. JJ, the team news absolutely killed us this week, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I didn't expect it. Probably should have done. He's got a knack for rotating. It makes sense. Towards the end of the season, they're going to have Champions League coming up as well. But I'd imagine you'll get... there'll be certain players who'd imagine will absolutely play the last two games coming up, even though there's not an awful... Well, there's nothing really for them to play for. David Silva's the obvious one. He's going to definitely be one to look out for, because it's his last couple of games in the league for City. So you'd think there'll be all sorts of lovely romantic things happening coming up.
Yeah, I wanted to mention David Silva because he did end up being Manchester City's highest scorer. A lot of very clever people talked about bringing him in last week and actually did it. Unfortunately, guys, none of us did. And probably fortunately for you, Lee, I know your wife Sam was on the FPL show last week and said she was going to bring him in but didn't. 7.4 million, 13 points this game week. He also got 17 points against Newcastle in 34 plus. He is looking like a really good option going into these final few game weeks, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm actually quite pleased that she didn't go for him. Otherwise, she would have been even more smug than she has been this season, Kelly, to be honest with you. Yeah, he looks good, doesn't he? I totally agree with what the guys are saying. Yeah, the football romanticist in me, and I think the romanticist in Pep will want David Silva to get plenty of minutes over the last couple of game weeks. But listen, there's plenty of good options in that Man City side. But for value for money, looks really good, because if you want to go up to a Sterling, then fair enough. Or you want to go up to a KDB, fair enough. I'm not going to put you off of that. That's going to cost you a thick end of 10 or 11 million FPL pounds. So if you want to go a little bit more budget, then David Silva looks really, really nice. I agree.
Well, Manchester United did offer us some late respite with Rashford getting 12 points. I'm just going to be honest here and say that after weeks of wondering whether Rashford was worth the money, I actually swapped him out for Greenwood to enable me to have funds to bring in Pulisic in midfield. Of course, I knew this was going to happen. 12 points for Rashford, the third highest scorer of the game week. Goal assist, three bonus. And of course, we did also get helped with an assist for Fernandes late on. Manchester United, JJ, are becoming a really reliable option and source of points for us.
Yeah, I mean, they've found form at exactly the kind of right time. The one worry is that that front five, they've all played every single game, and there's quite a lot of games, so it might find that fatigue sort of setting in. Greenwood had a couple of, I think, blanks in a row now, but he also got taken out with that tackle a couple of games ago. Because the games mean so much, you'd think that they'll step up. West Ham's a huge game, though, and because obviously West Ham are fighting for survival, that makes it quite unpredictable. But that front three they've got, especially Greenwood at his low price, like he's still at 4.6 at the moment. He is next level good. And all he needs is a couple little chances to score. That West Ham defence is not very good at holding out. So even if West Ham take the lead, I would avoid Man United defenders because it's going to be a weird one. But yeah, as soon as they take the lead, you know that Man United can get a goal in there. Rashford, his points, what is his points total just now, is 174. So he's fifth in the forwards category. I think he'd be way, way higher if he hadn't had that back injury that took him out of quite a few games earlier in the season.
We do all talk about Fernandes, he feels like an FPL must-have now for the price. But a word on Anthony Martial, because he scored United's second goal last night, 41 points over the last four game weeks. None of us have him, Tom. Maybe that's a bit of a mistake.
Yeah, I went for Rashford rather than Martial when I was preparing my team ahead of the restart. And Rashford's form hadn't been great prior to last night's game, so I dropped him without so much as a second thought, and then watched on powerlessly, as you did, Kelly, as he ran Crystal Palace ragged at Selhurst Park. I mean, Martial, his returns have been much better at home than away. Some notably really sizable points hauls since the restart. But then he showed that he could do it away from Old Trafford as well in that game at Palace. And I think the difficulty that you have with those four United attackers, if we include Bruno Fernandes in there as well, is knowing which of them to go for. They're all quite attractively priced. Martial is listed as a midfielder, despite playing as a striker. As JJ said, Mason Greenwood is very cheap, basically a must-have, in that he also opens money up elsewhere. But I think if you're going to look at any of those players for a really bumper haul, and with United at home to West Ham next, you might expect them to score a few goals. I think Martial's probably the most likely out of all of them to score, you know, two, three goals.
Of course he is when none of us have him. I actually opted to bring in a Manchester United defender before, didn't I? I've brought Aaron Wan-Bissaka in, and he's been booked in the last three game weeks. So even when they do get clean sheets, he clearly isn't the man to have. Anyway, on to more positive things. Tom, still points for you to be getting tonight. As I said before, we are recording ahead of West Ham versus Watford. Lots of FPL eyes will be on Mikel Antonio. Understandably for me, I'll be hoping he blanks. Anyway, enough of that. Let's now look ahead to game week 37 plus. Well, the penultimate FPL game week of the season is 37 plus, and it is more spread out due to the FA Cup semi-finals. Your deadline is Saturday at 4:30 p.m. UK time, ahead of Norwich versus Burnley. There's two fixtures Sunday, three on Monday, two on Tuesday, and then two more on Wednesday. It's actually the last time this season we will get such a spread out game week, as of course all of the fixtures on the final day in game week 38 plus will all kick off at the same time. So let's pick out a few of the fixtures in 37 plus. And in probably the most predictable choice of the week, if not the whole season, Lee Bonfield, you are going for...
I'm going for Liverpool versus Chelsea. Of course I am. I'm getting all excited about the fact that we're going to be lifting the trophy. But to be honest with you, that is an important point to make, because if you look at the way that Liverpool have been playing since they've won the Premier League, the foot has come off the gas. There's no doubt about it. There's one or two players in that side whose flip-flops are already on. The sun cream is already out and they're already thinking about their holidays. The most angry man the other night against Arsenal when we lost to those guys was Jurgen Klopp. You could see him on the touchline, not happy with some of the mistakes that were being made at the back. And it's defensively that I feel like some of the guys are switching off a little bit. Liverpool have conceded in three of the last four games, given up the third most big chances since the restart as well. Can you believe that? I mean, I'm sitting here doubled up on Trent Alexander-Arnold and Joe Gomez, but I'm finding myself benching Joe Gomez. Certainly did that against Arsenal. I don't feel like I want Trent Alexander-Arnold in my team right now, although I'm struggling to sell him too, because we know what he can do on his day offensively with set pieces, etc. as well. So Liverpool in that game, not looking great from a defensive point of view. And going forward, So Salah's got four goals to make up now between him and Vardy for the golden boot. So kind of thinking his head might be out of that space now. And I wonder whether he might be coasting a little bit. And of course, you know, he's one that a lot of FPL managers are trying to free up money by moving him to somebody else in midfield. So Liverpool, all in all, Kelly, not looking that investable from an FPL perspective right now.
Well, plenty of chat then about Liverpool, but of course, Chelsea have looked particularly good going forward as well. We spoke on the podcast last week, and Neil and I think Tom as well said maybe the time had gone to double up on Chelsea assets. But is it worth keeping hold of them, especially when you talk about Liverpool being a little bit vulnerable defensively?
I guess if you're a Willian owner, that could be a bit of a concern as well. Jorginho came back into the team against Norwich and I would expect him to take over penalty duties. So I think they're a keep. If you've got Giroud, I think that's a hold for me. I don't see Frank Lampard really favouring Tammy Abraham right now. Giroud is definitely his go-to pick. Be interesting to see who he favours in that FA Cup tie, and that might influence our thinking. But of course, that the game week 37 deadline is going to have passed by the time Chelsea play in that FA Cup game. So I think it's very difficult to make those decisions on Chelsea. But if I've got Pulisic, I'm going to keep.
Well, Chelsea very much in the race for Champions League. Their position looking a lot better after the results last week. But still all to play for both Spurs, Europa League-wise, it looks like anyway, and Leicester, who desperately want the Champions League, but it could be Europa League for them. So Spurs versus Leicester, JJ, another very interesting game where all of the players are going to have to be really up for it.
Yeah, I can't call this game. It's really hard to work out who would have the advantage. Teams know how to play against Leicester now, and they know that to stop Vardy, you sit slightly deeper, you make sure there's no space in behind, but that doesn't seem to have stopped him scoring quite a lot of goals recently. He's got four in his last five and an assist as well, and he's quite a streaky striker. So when he gets into these little runs of form, he keeps them going, it would be absolutely feasible that he'd end up with two this game and then another couple on the weekend after. But Jose Mourinho is not done as a coach yet, and he will drill into his players exactly what he wants them to do, and that'll be to frustrate Leicester and make sure they've got more of the possession, which is where players like Vardy don't have as much fun. And it could be then that Harry Kane would be the obvious because he's the goal scorer for Spurs, but he's not really in form just now. You'd expect him to come back from that injury. And I think Heung-min Son could be the one that you want to look for hitting Leicester on the counter, because they're going to have to push. If they're drawing at some point, they need the win. So they could have to push. They'll open up. That'll leave room for Spurs to counter, and it's going to be one of Son or Kane who'd be able to benefit from that.
You talk about Kane there, and he's kind of someone we always have to be aware of as FPL managers, because we know what he can do when he is getting back to fitness. As you said, he's had that problem trying to get back up to scratch, but he did get his third double-digit haul of the season, 12 points against Newcastle. Against Arsenal, he had five shots, four on target, didn't score. Against Newcastle, he had two shots, which were both on target, and scored two goals. He's also guaranteed to play. He was subbed very deep into injury time in that game. We have to be looking at him, don't we? I know he's very expensive, but Tom, are you swaying? Are you worried about not having Kane at all now?
A little bit, yeah. I mean, Spurs have been extremely flaky since the restart. It's hard to know what you're going to get with them. They were quite fortunate to come away from the derby against Arsenal with victory, but then built on it with a fairly convincing victory against Newcastle. We know that they've got firepower. We know they've got assets that have been pretty reliable in FPL the last few seasons. Kane, Son Heung-min being another one, and the fact that their other attacking players aren't really in great form at the moment means that they're even more reliant on those, or they're equally as reliant on those two as they have been. As JJ says, I find that Spurs-Leicester game very difficult to call, just because Leicester have perked up a little bit. Well, I mean, I suppose off the back of that Bournemouth defeat, they did get back to winning ways quite impressively against Sheffield United. So it's hard to know what to expect from that. But yeah, I don't plan to bring in any Spurs attackers either this week or next. But I am a little bit anxious about the fact I don't have any Spurs players, particularly when you think about how strongly Harry Kane has finished seasons in the past. With a little bit of the pressure off because they've fallen below expectations this season, they could easily finish the campaign with a couple of wins. And if they do, you'd expect Kane to be among the goals.
And finally, before we move on from this game, I feel like it would be remiss not to talk about a Leicester FPL debut that we saw in game week 36 plus from Luke Thomas. We love a 4 million defender, don't we? We love a cheap defender maybe it's a little bit too late in the season for him to come in and be one that we definitely want in our teams. But 4 million, selected by 0.1%, and he got 12 points, clean sheet and an assist, plus all three bonus. Lee, not a bad way to kick off your FPL career, was it?
Yeah, very good from the young man, wasn't it? Although the fixtures coming up, we've just been talking about the merits of Spurs going forward and Harry Kane, etc. So with Spurs away and then Manchester United at home, I don't think I'm going to be investing in him. But listen, he's one to look out for next season for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Could be a nice little bench defender potentially. But of course, Leicester do have injuries and stuff at the moment. Finally, Tom, I'm doing this one last because regular listeners will know my allegiances, and I know that you're going to spout some stats at me that are going to make me shudder.
Yes, you might want to cover your ears for this bit, Kelly, because Manchester City's recent record against Watford is quite frightening if you are a Hornets fan. City have won their last 9 league games against Watford. They've won 5-0 and 6-0 on 2 of their last 3 visits to Vicarage Road. They won the reverse fixture 8-0, and if you hadn't forgotten, and there's the little matter as well of last season's FA Cup final. So ordinarily, this would be the sort of fixture where you would just load up on Man City attackers and sit back and watch the points roll in. But the problem, or the fly in the ointment, is that City have an FA Cup semi-final at the weekend. And as Lee's already mentioned, we won't know which players play in those 2 FA Cup semi-finals until after the deadline has passed. One of the first rules of FPL team selection in recent seasons has been that you cannot trust Pep Guardiola. I disregarded that rule in game week 36 plus and was stung with Sterling being on the bench. And it just gives me pause when it comes to bringing in City players. I mean, you can quite conceivably imagine City racking up a load of goals at Vicarage Road again. But it's hard to say with any great certainty which players will play. And we won't really get an idea about that probably until after the semi-final against Arsenal at the weekend. So, yeah, I mean, I've got Kevin De Bruyne. I'm tempted to take a 4-point hit and bring in another City attacker. But having been stung so recently, it's something that I would do with an awful lot of trepidation.
Yeah, it's always quite tricky, isn't it? But it does feel like whoever he does pick should get points. That said, it wasn't that straightforward for them in midweek against Bournemouth. Has that worried you at all, JJ, watching the City that Guardiola did put out? They kind of limped in the end in those last few minutes to a 2-1 win.
It's really difficult to work out with Man City because, like we say, they don't have anything to play for in the league. But that shouldn't mean that they drop their standards. And the players are rotated so often that it doesn't... Whatever team's out there is one of the best teams that are there. And they, like I said before, I think the interesting thing is that David Silva, they want to get squeeze as much juice out of him the last few games as they can. But you've got like Gabriel Jesus will be in amongst it. Raheem Sterling is the one who should make things happen. I still think Phil Foden is great to have in the team because he's also cheap. And he tends to make things happen whenever he comes on. He's got really high chances created per 90. Like his form is good. So his last 4 games, he's not produced anything before, anything on those 4 games. But before that, he was getting a goal and assist, 2 goals, a goal. I could see that Foden's quite a nice little one to have in if you need to save some money with a big player. Say you take someone like Salah out, you don't expect something. You stick a Foden in, suddenly you've got a heap of money to spend somewhere else to try and get those points where you predict a big scoreline.
So, JJ, I think I would be loading up on Man City. Just go for 3. And I know what you're saying. It's very difficult to decide who you're going to have and who Pep's going to pick. But I would just be picking 3 tickets to the Pep lottery, the Pep roulette, and just waiting for the points to roll in. We know what these guys are like. They can, even if they don't get the start, they can come on for 10 or 15 minutes and get points. And with those fixtures, it's Watford, obviously, the game we just mentioned. Then it's Norwich at home in the last day on game week 38. The schedule for City is like this. It's Saturday night for the FA Cup. Then it's Tuesday night and then it's Sunday. That's plenty of time. These guys are used to playing 2 games in 7 days with the Champions League, etc. So that Norwich at home game in particular in 38, there's going to be a lot of FPL managers that are playing their free hit. There'll be some FPL managers that have still got the triple captain chip to play. So unless you've got those 3 Man City players for game week 38, you could end up with a bit of a last minute red arrow on the last game week, and you definitely don't want that.
The one thing I'd say about that is that although Watford have been absolutely done in by City the last few times, they weren't, correct me if I'm wrong, but they weren't coached by Nigel Pearson at the time, the times when these were happening. And I really rate him as a manager, especially getting them organised defensively. I also think Troy Deeney is exactly the kind of player that Man City defenders do not like playing against. And if Watford can just stay compact and deny them, and they're not quite on their game, get a ball up to him, and things can happen. And especially, like, if you know, you've got Eric Garcia, he won't enjoy having to play against Deeney. It depends. Depends what team's there, but I don't think it's going to be hiding this time.
Oh, like, JJ, it, thank you. I always knew
just backing you up, Kelly. Backing you up. I do, Kelly. It's the kind of thing, like, it's the reason I don't win at fantasy football, because I think, yeah, I know something that you don't, and so that's what's going to happen. But yeah, so that's my two cents.
You're talking to someone who's already. Well, I haven't even got to thinking about the Manchester City game because, of course, as I've said at the time of recording, I've still got the agony of watching West Ham versus Watford to come. But JJ, I do like that. However, I actually will be tripping up on City myself as well. I'm actually Team Lee on that, which says it all. Anyway, that's enough.
That tells you everything you need to know, doesn't it, that?
Well, enough chat about that. I really don't want to think about that any more than I have to. Let's now turn our attention to the long view, which has changed a little bit with only two game weeks remaining. Now, my position with the producers to change Longview to something a little bit shorter has now won because, of course, we only have two game weeks remaining. So we're looking at which teams are most attractive going into these final two game weeks and which strategy our panellists are taking. We've already spoken a lot about Manchester City. We've spoken about Liverpool and what to do with them. So looking at the teams which have really nice fixtures, JJ, Arsenal are really intriguing me. They have plenty to play for in terms of ensuring they get into the Europa League, and they've got two really nice fixtures as well.
Yeah, but the fixtures look good on paper because Aston Villa, in theory, are rubbish. But it's not, at this stage of the season, that's not really how it works. And I think you find that these players who are suddenly desperate to you know, avoid falling off a cliff, that's when the when weird things happen. I think the team like Norwich, I think you just count them out because they're going to get beaten by everyone they play. But you've got teams like Villa, Bournemouth, who have been easy to beat all season, but suddenly will look quite difficult. And that's something to really consider when you're picking your players this week.
Yeah, and Aubameyang was benched this week as well. But Lacazette, amongst the points, any intrigue there at all, Lee?
Saka is the one I really like. He's a really exciting talent for the future. He's in my FPL team, likes to drift into those central areas as well, which is where we want our FPL assets to be. So I think if you're going to look at Arsenal, I would actually say look at the cheaper options rather than the Lacazettes and the Aubameyangs.
Tom, what about you? Where are you kind of targeting the majority of your players and points? Or is there any teams that are intriguing you that perhaps we haven't talked about so far?
Well, as we've discussed, I mean, City have got a decent run-in, selection quandaries notwithstanding. Similar for Manchester United, particularly with that home game against West Ham. Arsenal, as we mentioned, a team we've not talked about so far, Burnley. And when it comes to playing teams, you've got nothing left to play for. They're away to Norwich and then at home to Brighton. We know they've got an outstanding defensive record. I've had Nick Pope in goal basically all season, and that's worked out really well. And you know, they've got players coming back to fitness, Chris Wood being one example. None of their players are particularly expensive. So if you do have gaps to plug, that can come in quite handy. So yeah, I think if you're sort of if you have holes to plug in your squad and you don't have a huge amount of money to spend, I think Burnley, in terms of their current form and two quite straightforward looking last fixtures, I think their players are quite attractive.
Yeah, as always, majority of the interest with Burnley, I think, is probably in their defence, maybe in free hit teams as people use their chips at this time. Lee, there's another team, though, that are catching your eye once again. They've been brilliant for us in FPL this season. It's been a bit rocky, but you very much think that Sheffield United, with their last two fixtures, are worth considering.
So you know what you're going to get with Sheffield United defensively at home in that Everton game in particular. I think Everton and Ancelotti have been struggling to get motivated as they get towards the end of the season, kind of in that mid-table bracket of, you know, what do? We can't really go up to the sort of European places, but we're also not going to go down. So Sheffield United at home to Everton, I think, is a really nice fixture. Away to Southampton is a bit more difficult, given the Danny Ings factor, etc. And Southampton have looked pretty good offensively since the restart. But Sheffield United, I think, worthy of defensive investment. Ender Stevens in my team, very happy to have him. If you want to go a little bit cheaper to an Egan, who we know can get goals, last-minute goals as well, wiping up my double Wolves clean sheet the other weekend. So you know what you're going to get with him. And of course, if you've got Henderson in your team as well, a very, very solid goalkeeper. So yeah, the two fixtures look all right for Sheffield United.
Yeah, they certainly do. And it's funny you should mention Ender Stevens, because I think he may well feature next. It's Essential Differential. So there we go. Lee, trying to steal Tom's limelight there, because I know, Tom, you're a big fan of Ender Stevens. And I always get a bit surprised when Sheffield United players are still differentials, particularly with the form that Ender Stevens is in.
Yeah, it's surprising. Ender Stevens still only owned by 4.4% of FPL managers, which, given the defensive consistency that Sheffield United have shown throughout the season, is pretty staggering. He's 5.2 million, so not among the cheapest, but decent price nonetheless. He's Sheffield United's most high-scoring outfield player, behind only Dean Henderson. And as Lee mentioned, very attractive home fixture against Everton, who have been dreadful the last few weeks. And then a slightly more fiddly trip to Southampton on the final day. I need to make a defensive change this week because of an injury. And Ender Stevens was going to be the guy I brought in, but his price has now gone up and I can't afford him. So, you know, if nothing else, just do it and then feel smug when he sets up a goal or scores. And I've missed out on the points and you haven't.
It's always the way, isn't it? It's the curse of FPL. Now, we talk about Ender Stevens being a surprise differential. Someone that I'm even more surprised about. When, JJ, you mentioned this player when we were kind of building up to the pod, I said, you can't pick him. He's not a differential. Yes, Gabriel Jesus is somehow still a differential. 7.3% roughly owned. 30 points in 3 matches. Why aren't players jumping on him?
I try to work this out. I can't work out whether I think he's that good, because like, he definitely is. But it's this feeling that he's not regarded as highly as like Aguero would be. You know, there's no surprise there. But Jesus is their only real striker they've got. When he's not there, they play Sterling through the middle at the moment. They've got a couple other options. But although I'm just going to make myself look like I'm all over the place here, and that I do think Watford might be a challenge, it's exactly the kind of Jesus is the kind of player that you can get in. Is 7% own him, I think, 7.2, something like that, owns Jesus, and that's the kind of thing you could have that's going to give you a big boost, because it could be that he's the one that scores a hat-trick and everyone else is looking at Kane and Ings and everyone at the top of the goal-scoring charts. Well, not Kane, but you know what I mean. And if you that could be the one that gets it. So, even though I said before that Watford are going to make it tight, put in Gabriel Jesus, triple captain him, win the game.
Don't undo all your good work. I was very much enjoying you being on this week's show until that point. But yeah, he certainly is an interesting asset. We never know if he is going to start, but he started up top in the second half when Sterling came on. He was forced out wide. That does show that they can both fit into this team as well.
Well, exactly. And often what happens is that, at times he plays two up top and Jesus is one of them. But he's 3 goals and 2 assists in his last 3 games. So it would imply that he's in a bit of form. But it's this kind of yo-yo thinking that has clouded my judgment all season long, where I think, this could be the one that does it, and then I don't do it. And it's all, as everyone knows that plays fantasy football, it's when you don't do it is when they end up scoring 8 goals that week.
This is what I sometimes try and do, particularly being a Watford fan. It's happened a few this season. I try and jinx FPL players by bringing them in. Or not, and it just never ever works. So don't employ that tactic anytime soon. What about you, Lee? Who are you going for in your differentials? I know you've had to change your differential as the week's gone on as well, because you went early. You told me, I think it was Monday, who you were going to pick, but alas, you've had to change.
I've had to change. First of all, let me say I'm delighted to hear Ender Stevens and Gabriel Jesus being backed by the guys, because both of those guys are in my FPL team right now. A team that I am looking, that I'm not invested in right now, but am looking at getting. So you're right, Kelly. I was looking at Jay Rodriguez earlier in the week until he got that, I think it was a slight calf injury, wasn't it, in that the last game week. So he's gone out of my thoughts, but Chris Wood is coming back into my thoughts. Now, I know what you're thinking. Chris Wood, I think his returns since he's come back from injury were 1-2, 1-1-2-7, I think he's got. So I know what you're thinking. He's only got a penalty, Lee. Come on, he's not, you know, it's not a differential. He's not one I want to invest in. But listen, against Norwich, any centre forward playing against Norwich is worthy of investment. And let me tell you why. So Norwich, really, really good at giving up big chances to centre forwards. In game week 35, they obviously gave up a lot of big chances to Antonio. And we know what happened there. 26 odd pointer, wasn't it, for Antonio? Game week 36 then, Norwich lost 1-0 to Giroud and Chelsea. And Giroud had 8 shots in the box. An XGI, an expected goals involvement statistic of 1.95, and had loads and loads of chances in that game. So, listen, he's only got the penalty so far, Chris Wood, but up against that Norwich defence, anything can happen. So I'm backing him to do well in that fixture.
6.1 million if you are interested in Chris Wood, selected by just over 1%, 7 points against Burnley. But could there be more points on the horizon? We'll have to wait and see. Now it's time to see who our panel are captaining and if they're going to do any transfers. And we're hoping this week Tom tells the truth. Come on then, Tom, I've put you on the spot. Tell me who you're transferring and be honest. And you've still got one more chip remaining, I think, if I'm right.
I do, yes. I've still got my triple captaincy up my sleeve. I think I'm going to leave that until the last weekend.
But you might not.
But I might not, because as as previously established, you cannot trust a word that I say. As of 10:29 on Friday morning, I am planning to replace Jamala Sellers with one of the Sheffield United lads, sadly not Ender Stevens, as previously discussed. And I'm contemplating a 4-point hit to turn Mo Salah into Raheem Sterling. But then having been stung by Guardiola already this week, I have my reservations about that as a potential move.
You've clearly not been listening to JJ about the fact Watford are going to put up a good fight. JJ, what about you? You're going to tell me now you're taking a 10-point hit to get in. Well, you can't even get a 10-point hit, can you? But you're going to tell me you need to get 3 City players in because you've changed your mind and they're going to score 8 again.
If anyone can get a 10-point hit, it would be me. And I might go against my own advice. Take out De Bruyne just to be mad, put in Silva and captain him. It sounds stupid, and it might be, but imagine it works. Another thing I might do, because I quite like the romantic stories, is find a way to get Odion Ighalo in, because all these players have been playing so many games, they'll be tired. So you put on Ighalo in the last 20 minutes, and he comes on, he scores the bicycle kick, goal from the halfway line, and that's Man United qualify for the Champions League. It's all over the headlines. No, you couldn't write it, but I have. And so that's one thing. And genuinely, I consider this because I can't win, so I might as well have a bit of fun with it. And that's the kind of thing that makes me happy. So
the lineup for this week's pod is absolutely brilliant. We've got Tom, who we can't quite work out if he's telling the truth. We've got JJ, who just does the most eccentric things possible. And we've got Lee, who is far more serious and has got all the stats and reasoning to back it up. And normally doesn't lie to us. Lee, going to continue that trend now? What transfers are you doing?
Well, listen, I'm sorry to bring the tone of the podcast down, because I'm loving the enthusiasm and the romanticism and the Ighalos and the triple captains from the guys. It's fantastic. But I'm really sorry, Kelly, I think I'm going to be holding my transfer this game week with a view to maybe, you know, bringing in a couple of differentials on maybe a 4-point hit mini wildcard in game week 38. So I'm looking at my team right now and I'm pretty happy with it. So I don't think I'm going to make any transfers. Sorry to be boring.
It's not boring. It's good planning, that is. I'm going to make a transfer just because I'm free hitting in the final game week. And I'm probably going to take a hit to make sure I've got maximum Man City players. So yeah, hopefully I'm jinxing them. Hopefully not for you though, FPL managers, because I'm sure Man City players are going to be the most transferred in this week, understandably. Captains then, guys. Come on then, JJ. Which eccentric, crazy player is going to come in and get the armband?
If I do the Silva thing, probably Silva. But I think Bruno Fernandes.
Ighalo,
is the
JJ.
One that's...
Come on.
Yeah. Ighalo. Ighalo, yeah. One of those lads. Sure, why not? Yeah, I'll go with one of those. If not, genuinely, I would consider putting Bruno Fernandes, because things seem to happen every time he's playing, and because the games matter so much, he's the kind of guy that steps up and either assists or goals, he's going to be there.
I'm getting a little bit worried, so I've just looked at our official FPL podcast guest league, and you're not actually that far behind me in the league, JJ. So I'm a bit worried that
me?
One of these crazy...
Oh, God.
Yes, I know. I was as surprised as you. No, I'm joking. I'm joking. But I'm a bit worried one of these crazy transfers could pay off and you'll finish above me like everyone else. Tom, who's your captain's armband going to?
At the moment, it's Bruno Fernandes. Obviously, solid. Sensational form ever since he arrived at Old Trafford. And having watched United's game at Palace last night, I thought he still looked full of energy. He was still running the show from first minute to last. United did look a little bit leggy as some of the other big teams have done this week. But I'm confident that Bruno Fernandes has got enough in the tank to finish the season in the same vein that he's been in basically since the word go.
Talking of closeness in the league, Tom, you're actually only 12 points behind Lee at the moment in FPL standings with Antonio to play. So this is tight.
Yeah, well, when Antonio scores another 4 goals tonight, I'll be speeding away over the horizon. Yeah, a foolproof plan.
Anyway, Lee, I hope that you stay above Tom in the league, that Antonio does absolutely nothing for you. Who are you captaining next week?
Thanks, Kelly. No, I appreciate that. Yes, like the guys, I think Bruno Fernandes is a fantastic option. Just to be a little bit different, we've talked about Man City enough on this podcast, I'm not going to go into it, but you know, Kevin De Bruyne having rested in that last game, not played any minutes at all, you've got to think that Pep's lining him up for, you know, to unleash him in the FA Cup and then against Watford away. So he could be, I think, massively overlooked. If I was going to go a little bit, it feels wrong to say Kevin De Bruyne is a little bit different, right? But I think so many people will be lumping onto Bruno Fernandes, maybe Rashford as well, given the form. But I've got one eye on Vicarage Road and one eye on Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes, I think a lot of eyes will be on Vicarage Road for that game on Tuesday night. A big thank you, I think, to JJ Lee and Tom for joining me and for depressing me. But if you do want more FPL goodness, just like the guys have provided us with, head over to PremierLeague.com for the FPL show and FYI, plus lots more. Remember, get your teams in by Saturday at 4:30 PM UK time. And we'll be back again next week to look ahead to the final, yes, the final FPL game week of the season. We'll see you then.